Hello, podcast listeners. This is Dr. Fred Rivera. I'm here today with Erica Martz. She recently finished up her MPH degree and is a project coordinator and project manager with the Department of Epidemiology and works with the Firearm Injury and Policy Research Program. And she has a nice publication that recently came out in BMC Pediatrics. So, Erica, can you tell me the study question and why you chose to study this particular topic?
Yeah, absolutely. This study began as my thesis project while I was an MPH student at the University of Washington, and it was really focused on quantifying and describing the burden of firearm injury among adolescents in King County, Washington. And specifically, we had three aims of our study. So we first examined trends in firearm injury incidence rates among adolescents aged 10 to 19 between 2011 and 2021. And then we described the distribution of firearm injury by fatality, intent, age, race, ethnicity, and sex. And then lastly, we explored differences in these rates by fatality, intent, and within the demographic subgroups. And I was really interested in this topic because I wanted to focus my work on the impact of firearm-related harm on adolescents, particularly in my community of King County. Partially because adolescence is such a critical developmental period and exposure to violence at this age is linked to a wide range of adverse health outcomes, including repeated violent victimization, but also because publicly available data like CDC Wonder and Whiskers face some issues with data suppression within certain subgroups and by geographic regions, especially more granular county or city level data. And so non-fatal injury as well might be limited or unavailable. And so the goal was to supply more precise estimates, particularly for non-fatal firearm injury at this granular level.
Yeah, and it's really timely, as you probably know, that yesterday there's an article that came out in JAMA Pediatrics looking at adolescent firearm deaths and show that there's a big effect on the state in which kids lived, and that affects the availability of firearms to those kids. So for your study, what was the data that you used?
We got our non-fatal firearm injury data from the Trauma Registry of Harborview Medical Center, which is the only level one adult and pediatric trauma center in Washington State and the surrounding states. And while we didn't capture non-fatal firearm injuries that presented to other hospitals, as the only level one trauma center in the region, the hospital treats most of the firearm injuries in the county. And another strength of that data set was that it decreased misclassification of intent, especially coding assault as accidental or unintentional, compared to a lot of the other sources of non-fatal firearm injury. And then our fatal firearm injury data came from death certificates, and we got our population data from the American Community Survey five-year estimates, which is administered by the U.S. Census Bureau.
Yeah, I think that misclassification is a big issue. I know that your colleagues did a study showing that data that are categorized by the trauma center registrars are much more accurate than that is available in things like the HCUP database. So what were the main findings?
There was a significant increase in the annual rate of overall firearm injuries among King County adolescents between our study period of 2011 and 2021. So we estimated that between 2011 and 2021, the annual rate of overall firearm injury increased by about 6% on average per year. And this was really driven by increases in assault. Throughout the study period, most of our firearm injuries were non-fatal, approximately 70%, and almost 75% of these injuries were assault-related. Notably, we found that self-inflicted injuries surpassed unintentional injuries during the study period, and 92.5% of these were fatal, emphasizing the lethality of firearms as a means for suicide. And while 10% of the population lives in rural King County, and only 2% of the injuries in our study sample were among rural adolescents, all of these were fatal. And then lastly, firearm injury rates were highest among adolescents who were Black, male, Hispanic, or Latina, and 18 to 19 years old, highlighting a disproportionate burden of firearm-related harm, particularly due to assault among older adolescents, adolescents in racial and ethnic minoritized groups, and males.
Were there any surprises that you saw in the data?
While overall firearm injury incidence rates were highest among Black adolescents, we observed the greatest average annual increase in the rate of overall firearm injury rates per year among adolescents who were Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander, which was a surprising result. We found that there was an estimated 24% increase per year in the rate of firearm injury among Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander adolescents. And while we had some small numbers in our racial and ethnic subgroups, which limited our power to detect differences between these subgroups, we felt that this was a very important finding, and we used rolling averages to ensure inclusion of all groups, acknowledging that There are racial disparities in firearm-related harm and historical exclusion of some groups from observational research like this study due to small sample sizes. So we felt that it was very important to find ways to include these groups despite the small numbers.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I found that was surprising was there's this pretty significant dip there in 2013. And I've seen other data that seems to show like 2013, 2014 seem to be a nadir for firearm injuries and deaths. I don't know. Do you know of any explanation for that?
No, that was a great question and something that I noticed during the study as well. And I think 2013 was actually significantly different than the rest of the years of the study period. And so I think that definitely warrants further observation, especially if we're finding that in larger samples like those nationally or across other states.
Yeah, it's a really interesting finding. What do you think are the implications of the study?
To my knowledge, this is the first study to examine trends in firearm injuries among this population of adolescents aged 10 to 19 in King County and identify how these trends differed by fatality intent and demographic factors. And so these findings may aid advocacy efforts for additional resources in this region to reduce disparities in firearm-related harm, or help to implement new or effective interventions in other settings across demographic groups or different settings. Since the study period ended in 2021, several interventions and programs have been administered in King County, including Harborview Medical Center's hospital-based violence intervention program, the expansion of Public Health Seattle and King County's Lock It Up program, which is their safe storage initiative, and several community violence intervention programs. And so these programs should ensure that they have equitable impact across various socioeconomic, geographic, and demographic groups, warranting future evaluation of these programs and future work that looks at how firearm injury rates have decreased or increased since 2021.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what's happened to firearm fatalities. I know there is that, you know, we also had that big impact increase during the pandemic, and some cities have seen decreases since then. It'd be interesting to see what's really happened in 24. Don't really have that data yet. So, Well, thanks very much, Erica, for doing this and for doing this study. For those of you who are listening, you can go to our website, fiprp.uw.edu, and see other studies there as well as other podcasts. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Fred.